So we're not full employment. That pretty much suggests that anyone still claiming the dole is unemployable or not actively seeking work. But look around your family, your street, your community. Does it really seem like we've never had it so good? And if it is so good, why can people not afford a house? Why is it that people who do have a job are queuing at food banks? We do. Why do we all owe so much in credit cards? Why are people sleeping on the streets? These are some of the questions we're asking this morning. The Northern Ireland Conservative commentator Frank Shivers with us today. Good morning to you, Frank.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And the commentator, Brian Peelan. Morning to you, Brian.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, is it this good, Frank?
Well, I think it's a very positive statistic that's come out. And when you look across the UK, some of the stats, you know, it's the joint lowest unemployment since 1975. So, yeah, look, we've a long way to go and we'll always try and get better and better and better. But it should be celebrated that the statistic is a good thing.
And do you think people on the ground feel that it's a good thing? Do you think there's a feel-good factor around Northern Ireland?
No, well, I think everybody in Northern Ireland is so demoralised by our current political impasse. And, you know, when you look at these statistics, which are good and are reported to be good, what could it be like if our local politicians got it together and we had a good functioning executive? It would be even better. So I think what we should look at is this is a good news story, Stephen, and let's not play it down, because what will happen is now employers will be struggling to get really good people. So that potentially will mean that we'll have to pay more wages. There'll be better, better conditions. So let's look at it as a very positive move. We've certainly a long way to go.
Yeah, but the question is, Frank, are people like you talking it up too much beyond the reality?
No, I think some people are talking it down, Stephen. If I'm honest, we tend to, especially in Northern Ireland, we tend to get a really good news story. And we look at the negatives of it instead of looking at the positives and trying to draw from the positives on it. I make no apologies for talking this up. It's a good news story for Northern Ireland and the UK in general. And long may it continue. We're a long way to go. And some of the issues that you raised, yes, definitely need to be addressed. But this is a good news story, make no mistake.
Just to nail one thing, by the way, because I think there's a conversation that is constantly going on at the moment, and it's not been challenged enough, that when we say, look, you mentioned it again this morning there, Frank, you know, in the absence of an executive, as this goes on longer and longer without one, are we getting to the stage where maybe some people are realising Northern Ireland continues as is? Is there much of a difference without these people in charge?
There certainly is, Stephen.
Is there?
And, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you look at the stuff that's being held up in legislation, economically wise. There's stuff being held up for inward investment. There's none of our local politicians are going on economic drives in other countries to bring in new companies. There's stuff sitting there shelved in the NHS that has been approved but can't be implemented. So, yeah, there is a problem.
But we saw waiting lists go up when they were there. We saw potholes in our roads when they were there. I'm just challenging this. Are we starting to look back upon the executive with rose-tinted glasses? In other words, things were brilliant when we had local politicians, were they?
Well, it depends what way you look at it, Stephen. If you believe, which I do, that we have local people, elected politicians making local decisions and spending the money locally, that's a good thing for Northern Ireland. I fundamentally believe in that, and I think that we need to get back to it, and it makes sense that we have that. Every other region in the UK has that, and it seems to be working a lot better.
Brian Peelan, is there this feeling, this feel-good factor now in Northern Ireland?
Well, I'm loath to sort of to take the good news story that Frank is arguing and that he will say that I'm talking about, etc. But I'm trying to look at it in the round. You know, what is the reality for people on the ground in Northern Ireland? So when you say there's full employment, that's a good news story. But what is the nature of the work? I mean, what are the jobs? And what do those jobs pay? And what flows from that is, if those jobs, which I argue, many of them are low-paid, then people's lives are impacted upon that and the choices that they can make. So the one thing we have to look at when we look at employment statistics is, what are we talking about in terms of jobs? Because you could have a job and then you're off the register and you're qualified as employed, but your life might have not substantially changed because of the wage you're paying, that you're economically struggling. So you can't have this feel-good factor because you're just too busy to survive. And how possibly could anyone in Northern Ireland argue a good news story when we have seen a rise in food banks? Food banks, when they first came in, I was shocked. The idea of food banks, I thought, belonged to the Victorian era, that time of people in the 30s, the mass hungry. And we have seen a rise in food banks. Now, why, if we have full employment throughout Northern Ireland, would we have the need for food banks? What are people doing wrong if we still seem to have people going to queue up and get food parcels, which is a largely unreported story in Northern Ireland? We get references to it, but we don't see programs about it. Talking to these people saying, why are you going to the food bank? And the other stat, which no one ever mentions, is people who are disabled, largely invisible, largely ignored, and who are also suffering from the changes in benefits. So I'm saying that it's not a good news story or a bad news story. You have to look it in the round.
Is it true, Frank Shivers, that you've said homelessness does not exist in Northern Ireland?
Well, when I said that, Stephen, what I was talking about was a number of business people saw a thing on Facebook, which was in Times Square in New York. And basically what a group of business people, various businesses from a barber to a restaurateur to a gents outfitters, basically picked a homeless person in Times Square. And we decided we fancied doing that in Belfast. We thought it was a cracking idea. And I got a number of businesses in Belfast. And we actually went to the homeless charities and said, look, we'd like to do this, for a homeless person. And the reality was that the only people, that, this is what the homeless charities were telling us, that the only people that are sleeping homeless are on the streets are people with mental disability or drugs or alcohol.
Well, they're still homeless, Frank.
Yes, but what they were telling us was that there is places for those people to go. There is nobody that needs to be actually physically sleeping on the street in Northern Ireland. Now, I was shocked by that, but that's what they're telling. That's what the homeless charities told us. So that's where that's coming from. The other aspect of the measurement of homelessness in Northern Ireland is if you're in accommodation deemed unsuitable for your circumstances.
So you're telling me that everybody we see on the street is essentially doing so because they want to, not because they have to.
That is what one of the homeless charities told
me. But do you believe that?
Well, actually, I probably do. I did a number, about 2 years ago, went into Belfast early morning and late evening with a volunteer who challenged me to do that. And we walked around and we spoke to a few people, and it was obvious that they had an alcohol dependency or a drug dependency. They were offered accommodation, whether it be Salvation Army or some of the homeless charity refuges, and declined.
Let me bring in Joe in Belfast. Morning, Joe.
Is this me? Yeah.
That's you, Joe.
Oh, okay. It's a false headline, to be honest. This is a false premise that they're trying to...
Right, we need to get your phone fixed. We'll see if we can do that. We'll go to another Joe and Cully Backey. Morning to you, Joe.
Hello.
Go ahead,
Joe. You're mixed up this morning. Are you on the drink?
Why?
Were you on the drink last night? No,
why
I'm ringing you? You're talking about inflation, or about the percentage, 3.8% of unemployment. I live in Australia for some years, and the late Sir Robert Menzies was the Prime Minister, and he had a policy of not having full employment. For a simple reason was that full employment leads to inflation. If you have a labour shortage, the labour can demand higher salaries. And that was his policy. And I'm not an expert in economics, but the reality is you don't want it to be too... The percentage, if it's 2%, you're right, people are actually desperate to get people to work
okay.
Because they're not available if there are not enough people in the workforce to fill the vacancies.
Joe, thank you very much. We'll go back
Stephen,
to your first
just on that,
yes, Joe.
Just on that, in the first quarter of this year, Stephen, wages actually went up 2.8% and inflation only went up 2.7%. So, you know, you've got to, if you look at the inflation and the wage increase, you look at the increase of wages over the past sort of 10 years, akin to the past 40 years, the percentage increase is vast.
Stephen, can I come in there?
Yes.
Yeah, just that you just before we run away from it, the homelessness figures and the anecdotal stuff there from Frank. I mean, I'm the editor of View Magazine, Social Affairs Magazine. I've recently done a whole magazine, and maybe Frank would like to read that magazine. It's on our website, viewdigital.org. And in that magazine, our guest editor was Jim Dennison, who's chief executive of the Sandwich Group in Northern Ireland, who actually, this is his area, so he's the expert. You know, I'm not the expert. I would argue that Frank's not the expert. I don't even claim to be. But Jim is. I mean, Jim works in that area, Dick Daly and his organisation, the Sandwich Community, and tackling the issue of homelessness. I mean, he said, what do you call it, in his editorial for the magazine, that, we have seen a 13% rise in the number of those who are officially accepted as being homeless from 9,000 to 11,200 since the lifestyle strategy. That was 2012-2017. In other words, he was arguing that the homelessness figures have increased.
Brian, my point is that the actual that statistic is taken from people who are in a home, whether it be a housing executive home or wherever, but is deemed not to be acceptable for their circumstances. So that could be a husband and wife with two kids.
We have to move away from the idea of the person on the street. If people are living in houses and they're on the homeless register as not officially having a home, they're homeless. I mean, you can't really start to sort of cut at those corners. Those figures are accepted. Those figures have been established. And what Jim was arguing was that from 5-6 years ago, the situation got worse. And then we have to say, if the situation's got worse, why has it got worse? Low wages, a lack of social housing in Northern Ireland, and all those other factors. I mean, we have to accept those figures, or else...
Let me bring in Stephen and Derry. Morning, Stephen.
Nonsense.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
Stephen, I read the figures yesterday, and I was wondering to myself, you know, there needs to be a breakdown, Stephen, of these figures. There needs to be some kind of clarification of where these jobs are, for instance. How many of these jobs are on government schemes, the EOS, where if you're attending a scheme, you're effectively not on the unemployment register?
How many of them are zero-hour contracts?
As well, Stephen. And my point is, Stephen, this. I work in an industry where a lot of my clients are young people aged 17 to 24. The figures recently came out that 20% less now are applying for applications for provisional licences, which means young people sometimes feel that there's no chance of them having a car when they do pass their driving test, so they're not finding it a necessity now at the moment to apply for that provisional licence. So I don't know whether this disposable income is for these young people to actually try and fulfil a simple task like holding a driving licence, Stephen. I just don't see that disposable income within society at the moment.
Paul Gosling, the financial journalist with us this morning. What's it like in the Northwest, Paul?
Well, Stephen, the situation is clearly not the same in Derry as it is in and around Belfast. I think when Richard Ramsey talks about full employment, he's talking about people with skills in and around Belfast. And clearly the situation is not as good in Derry. We probably got about twice the level of unemployment here as the rest of Northern Ireland. And there is, you know, a shortage of relevant skills. You do have employers that want to employ more people, but there's a mismatch between the skills people have and the skills that employers need.
So what are you saying? The jobs are there, but the skills aren't?
Well, I'm saying, though, that there are some jobs available, but we're not producing the skills that employers want, and we've got a weak economy in the Northwest. We've got still the weakness of the infrastructure, the roads infrastructure, and there aren't enough jobs anyway. There are some jobs, but we don't have people with, you know, the data analytics, software engineering, restaurant chef jobs that are available. We don't have people with the skills needed. So you need to boost the economy, but at the same time, we need to create more skills. And we, you know, we need to recognise that while the official unemployment statistics are very low, we have a lot of people who are economically inactive. A lot of those probably would like to be in work. Yeah. If there were those jobs that they were, you know, had the right skills for.
I was looking at the Northern Ireland inactivity rate. Basically, that's the proportion. What that economic inactivity rate means, that's the proportion of working age people who are not working and not seeking or available for work. And the inactivity rate in Northern Ireland is 27.9%. It's 28% compared to 21% in the UK. So why do we have more people not available for work in Northern Ireland compared to the rest of the UK? Of the economically inactive, 82% did not want a job, while 18% did. Of those who did not want to work, 30% were long-term sick or disabled, 27% were students, 22% were looking after the family or home, 12% were retired, 9% cited another reason.